Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I am Gail, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining Eurobank Ergasias conference call to present and discuss the full year 2019 results and business update 2020-2022. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fokion Karavias, CEO. Mr. Karavias, you may now proceed.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and welcome to our call. Let me start with our agenda for today. Our Chief Financial Officer, Harris Kokologiannis, will give you an overview of the full year 2019 results. But first, I would like to update you about our targets in 2020 and the outlook for the next three-year period. The coronavirus outbreak has materially changed the conditions during the past few days, but considering the completion of our transformation plan, we consciously decided to present you our next strategic directions and business outlook, although any adverse effect has not yet been incorporated into it. Obviously, 2020 will be a highly volatile year. Let me start with the macroeconomic conditions. Before the recent developments, the macro outlook was as follows. Overall, our three core markets, Greece, Bulgaria, and Cyprus, had a relatively positive macro outlook for 2020. In Greece in particular, last year, GDP growth was 1.9% and was expected to reach a 2.4% in 2020, mainly on higher investments. Rating agency upgrades and bond issuance by the sovereign, banks and corporates confirmed the improving outlook and investor sentiment for the Greek economy. A further vote of confidence in the Greek economy was the recent decision by ECB to remove restrictions on banks' GDP holdings. The property market recovery accelerated, as seen in the residential properties price index, which increased by 7.2% in 2019 from 1.8% in 2018. Obviously, there exist serious concerns about the effect of the coronavirus. We can only speculate on its impact. The baseline scenario remains that the depth of the economic impact would be material, mainly due to travel and tourism, but should be temporary as the outbreak itself will eventually dissipate. The Greek economy is on a solid footing, and importantly, the banking system has become more robust during the last few years. Let me now move to the business update. 2019 was a milestone year for the bank, as we have delivered on our accelerated NPE reduction plan. This gives me the opportunity to summarize our initiatives with respect to key legacy issues, namely capital, asset quality, and liquidity over the last few years. As you can see on slide 4, we added more than 7 percentage points of total CAD through profitability, AFS gains, Tier 2 issuance, and the merger with Grivalia. As a result, our capital ratios increased by 4 percentage points in the period 2016-2019, with total CAD reaching 19.2% in the fourth quarter of 2019. The 710 basis points of capital enhancement allowed us to offset any negative impact on capital, as shown on slide 5, but also to finance our accelerated NPE reduction plan. Still on slide 4, on asset quality, in the period 2016-2019, and including the Cairo securitization, we reduced the NPE ratio by 30 percentage points, while increasing coverage by 6.4 percentage points in the same period. This reduction of NPEs by 16.2 billion euros was achieved through organic means, but mostly through transactions, including the last securitizations of Pillar and Cairo. On liquidity, deposits increased by 12.7 billion euros in the same period, and our loan-to-deposit ratio reached an historic low of 83%. In November of 2018, we announced our transformation plan with three targets. First, enhance our capital through the merger with Grivalia and the sale of our loan servicer, FPS. Second, accelerate the balance sheet cleanup from legacy NPEs. And third, rebase our recurring profitability at a return on tangible book value close to 10%. We have already delivered on the first two targets, as the plan is now almost complete, as you can see on slide 10. More specifically, we reached a binding agreement with DoValue regarding FPS and part of mezzanine and junior tranches of the Cairo securitization. We received the credit rating for the senior tranche of Cairo and applied for the asset protection scheme. We received SRT approval from the SSM a few days ago this week. And finally, after the corporate hive down, already approved by our EGM, we aim to distribute to shareholders the Cairo mezzanine and junior tranches in the second quarter. With the legacy issues behind us and the 2019 transformation plan already executed, our priority becomes to deliver on the third target, profitability. We will provide you the main highlights of our business plan for 2020 and the three-year period up to the end of 2022. However, we repeat that the potential impact of the coronavirus outbreak has not yet been incorporated in our assumptions, as conditions remain highly volatile. 2020 does entail a higher risk factor, but our medium-term targets should not diverge. As you can see on slide 11, the plan is aiming recurring EPS of 12 cents in 2020 from 7 cents last year. This implies a return on tangible book value of 9%, double from 2019. On slide 12, we present the main drivers of this year profitability in terms of core PPI and cost of risk. To become more specific, net interest income will have a negative impact on core PPI, mainly due to foregone income from the disposed NPEs. We expect NII to be reduced by a mid-single-digit percentage versus 2019. Fees, on the other hand, will boost core PPI as all components will contribute positively. Platform and lending fees, asset management and bancassurance, and rental income from investment properties existing and new. For instance, let me make reference to our press release earlier today that we acquired investment property of 120 million euros at a very attractive yield. Overall, fee and commission income will increase by a high teens percentage year on year. However, for 2020, the main profit driver will be a lower cost of risk ratio of around 90 basis points from 170 basis points in 2019 due to the substantial reduction of the NPE ratio. Now, let's focus on the three-year period 2022. The updated NPE reduction plan is shown on page 14. Our NPE ratio will be 15.9% in the first quarter of 2020, reach single digit in 21 as per our initial guidance, and further drop to 5% in 22. Coverage should remain above 55% throughout the three-year period. On the right-hand side of the same slide, you can see that all drivers are contributing to the NPE reduction. On slide 15, we provide an analysis of the capital evolution. The impact of Cairo and FPS will be booked in the first quarter of 2020. Total CAD is expected around 16.5% at the end of 2022. It is important to highlight that our total capital ratio will remain comfortably higher than the respective regulatory requirements throughout this period. Profitability and business growth in all our core markets become our key focus. As shown on slide 16, the main growth drivers are credit expansion by 5.4 billion euros and lending fees increase in Greece and in our international businesses. Higher fees across all non-lending businesses, including asset management and bancassurance, transaction and network fees, and rental income. Cost initiatives, mainly focused in Greece, will create space for more than 200 million euros IT and digital investment. Finally, as shown on slide 19, our international operations are expected to show profit growth of more than 30%, and their share in total profits to be more than 35%. We highlight our operations in Bulgaria and Cyprus, which have strong capital positions, single-digit NPE ratios, and return on utilized equity of around 20% by 2022. Our strategic goals are summarized on slide 20. Let me highlight that throughout the three-year period, we are targeting return on tangible value close to 10%. Cost-to-income ratio will gradually be reduced towards 45%. Cost of risk will reach 75 basis points, and the NPE ratio will decline at 5% at the end of 2022. Overall, we are pleased that we have been able to deliver on our 2019 transformation plan. Profitability and business growth are becoming our key focus for this year onwards. Although the ultimate depth and duration of the coronavirus economic impact are highly uncertain, we believe the shock should be temporary. As the outbreak will eventually dissipate, the economic activity in Greece should accelerate and remain robust in Bulgaria and Cyprus. Taking a perspective beyond the short-term volatility, the bank is in a strong position to enter the growth phase and create value for its shareholders and customers. At this point, I would like to ask our CFO, Mr. Harris Kokologiannis, to present our full year results before opening the Q&A session.
Thank you, Fakir. Let's see our financial results for the fourth quarter and full year 2019, as highlighted on slide 22. Net profits for the year reached 257 million euro, of which 108 million in the fourth quarter. On a year-on-year basis, net profits increased by 27%. Core pre-provision income decreased year on year by 2.7%, driven by net interest income, and amounted to 830 million euro. Commissions, following a strong last quarter, increased by 13.6% year on year, mainly as a result of the merger with Grivalia, but also due to higher fees related with bancassurance, assets under management, network activities, and international. Operating expenses on a comparable basis were up by 0.7% for the group and lower by 1.7% in Greece, driven by lower staff costs. On asset quality, our stock of NPEs decreased by 3.7 billion euro in full year 2019 and 0.9 billion in the fourth quarter. The latter, driven by the negative NPE formation of circa 340 million euro, higher liquidations arrivals. The NPE ratio improved by almost 8 percentage points year on year, dropping to 29%. In the same period, the coverage of NPEs by the accumulated provisions increased by 210 basis points to 55.3%. The fully loaded Basel III ratio at the end of last quarter reached 14.6%, improved by 50 basis points quarter on quarter, mainly due to the quarterly profits and gains in our Greek government bonds portfolio. Our total capital ratio stands at 19.2% and the CET1 ratio at 16.7%. Following strong activity on corporate lending in the last quarter, our performing loans booked increased by 1 billion euro year-on-year on a comparable basis in Greece. Demand is stronger outside Greece, so our total increase in performing loans for the full year 2019 was 1.7 billion euro on a comparable basis. Deposits increased last year by 3.7 billion euro in Greece and 5.8 billion for the group. And as a result, the group loans to deposits ratio reached 83%. Finally, international operations remained positive across all countries, with net profits reaching 168 million euro for 2019, higher by 14% versus the previous year. The improvement is driven by the core pre-provision income, which amounted to 270 million euro, higher by 11% year on year. This completes our presentation, and we may now open the floor for your questions.
The first question comes from the line of Abad Jose with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you very much for the presentation. I have three questions, if that's possible. I think the first question is, I know you mentioned, you flagged a number of times in the presentation that you have not incorporated actually this the coronavirus and related market and economic impacts in your numbers, which is an important caveat, I guess. I mean, I think the first question here is, with regard to the Cairo deal, is there anything, given that the world, I think, has pretty much changed over the last month for the global economy and the Eurozone economy in particular, and I believe also for the Greek economy, are there any execution risks to the materialization actually of this deal? And sorry, because I joined a bit late. No, I don't know what you mentioned here at the beginning. No, that's the first question. So should we expect actually this deal to go ahead under the same terms that you guided originally, or anything has changed? Now, the second question is, in your targets, you are assuming an 8% CAGR loan growth over the coming 3 years, which I think probably is optically a bit too high, given that the macro dynamics and the macro context in which we are. So if you could actually help us, you know, how are your thoughts currently about how the loan book is going to evolve, potentially actually per sector. I'm thinking of sectors like tourism, shipping, how all this actually is going to evolve. And the third point is also, obviously, we've seen actually there's an increase in your NPE target for 2020 for this year versus your previous plan. You are, there's an improvement actually later on, but there is a deterioration probably this year. If you could actually explain and whether actually, if you could also help us understand how NPL and cost of risk could evolve in the current economic context, even though you may not quantify it, but actually, even though, I mean, in a narrative way, actually that could be helpful to understand. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for your questions. Let me start from the first one, execution risk with respect to Cairo. And let me give you where we stand, what are the next steps until the completion of this transaction. In substance, the transaction is already completed. There are still some formal steps that we have to take. As we have announced, we have already received ratings for SPV1 and SPV2 of Cairo. Cairo is made by three separate SPVs, and we expect over the next few weeks to receive the rating for the third SPV. We have already applied for the APS for the first two SPPs, and we expect the approval, which is a formal process, over the next couple of weeks. And as soon as we have the rating of SPV3, we're going to apply also for the APS. In terms of the SSM approvals, as I mentioned during my introductory speech, we have already received the approval for the SRT of Cairo. Hive down and new banking license is expected to be received by March 20th. We have already discussed that with the SSM, and this is more like a formal procedure. And as I also mentioned, the mezzanine and junior distribution, the mezzanine and junior notes distribution to shareholders should take place in the second quarter. In terms of accounting, we expect to put Cairo NPEs classified as held for sale in the first quarter of 2020 and fully deconsolidate in the second quarter of 2020. And also, the Cairo loss and the FTS gain will be booked in the first quarter of 2020. Now, with let me come to our counterparty, DoValue. We expect the closing of the transaction in April 30th. This is what we had agreed from the beginning. Now, any sort of execution risks with DoValue, if this is what you mean, you know that we have signed a binding agreement with DoValue on the 19th of December 2019. Since then, we are working very closely with them on all the processes and steps on a daily basis, including the required approvals, which are necessary for the closing to take place at the scheduled date. Approvals, I mean Bank of Greece approval and Competition Authority approval from the side of DoValue. We don't have any sort of concern about the closing of the transaction as of that date. In the meantime, the FPS management has a very active dialogue with the management of DoValue about further growing the business in terms of increasing assets under management, get advisory mandates for other transactions that are taking place in Greece. And also there is a plan to launch the Altamira real estate platform in Greece by the end of June. So this is an update on where we stand with respect to this transaction.
And with regard to the P&L impact, could you give us a bit, nothing has changed on that front versus actually the guidance that you provided before?
Actually, we have detailed information about the P&L impact on the presentation.
On page 15.
This is on page 15. And let me pass over to our CFO to give you some more details about the P&L impact. Harry.
If we go on page 15 and you focus on the note where you provide a breakdown of the impact for Cairo, the impact is expected at 1.59 billion, including the APS cost. The FPS valuation will give us an upside of 310 million, and the transaction carve-out cost and tax are estimated at a cost of overall 135 million euro. Now, if you translate, we have translated that on the upper left part of the chart in regulatory impact, this translates to 350 basis points of capital. However, directly related with Cairo and FPS transaction is also the increase of IRB shortfall that is going to have an impact of 60 basis points. And here we are talking about the phasing ratio. This has no impact on the fully loaded ratio. The DTA threshold, the 10% DTA threshold due to Cairo loss, another 30 basis points. And The RWAs impact, actually minus the RWAs of the loans plus the RWAs of the senior that has been estimated with a weighting factor of 25%, will give us, is giving us an upside of 70 basis points. Overall, this sums up to a regulatory impact of Cairo and FPS transaction at 370 basis points. Not far away with the guidance that we have provided during our last call. If you allow me to continue with the second, with your second question regarding the growth of our balance sheet, if you go on page 17, you may see that on the upper left part of the page that our performing loans will grow up by 7.1 billion euro, from 31 to 38 billion euro. This is broken down as follows. In Greece, we are going to have a growth of 3.3 billion, that it is actually a growth of business lending by 3.8 billion, household 1.5, minus 2 billion, that is it's going to be the amortization of mortgage loans. Furthermore, we have the senior notes that are accounted for as a performing asset, plus 1.6, plus international, another 2.1 billion. Now, regarding the assets, as we mentioned in the note below, we expect a growth of 8% cumulatively for the years 2020 to 2022. This translates to a growth of assets by approximately 5 billion euro. We have at the end of the year 64.8 billion. We are going to land at approximately 69.4. The difference is not coming only from loans, because our net loans in this period will grow by only 2 billion euro, because apart from the performing, we have the decrease of NPEs. The rest is going to come from the additional liquidity and the additional securities portfolio by 3.5 billion euro. Regarding this securities portfolio growth, which actually is the use of the additional liquidity, we estimate to increase our Greek government bonds portfolio by approximately 1 to 1.5% of our assets, i.e. between 701 million and 1 billion euro additional, and the rest is going to be foreign sovereigns and corporate. So for this reason, as you may appreciate, the yield on this asset will be lower than the performing loans. Overall, the impact on our net interest margin is shown on the mid right part of page 17. We estimate a decrease of our net interest margin by approximately 30 basis points, from 2.2 to 1.9%, of course, on the updated asset base as at the end of 2022.
And if I may, one second, in that in slide 17, in the chart, in the upper left chart that you have in the breakdown, you haven't provided actually, obviously, the post, if you want, coronavirus actually numbers or forecast. So, but could you tell us actually which of these components is most at risk in the current components? Are we talking about business loans or the household loans? Which segment you would say is most at risk of missing your own targets?
It is not easy to answer this question, because the critical factor is the duration of this crisis. You could appreciate that it's going to be different if we are talking about an event that is going to dissipate by June, or something that will be with us almost for the full 2020. The implications for the economy are going to be quite different. So it's not easy to quantify what are the effects. Let me, with this opportunity of your question, let me try to give you an assessment of how we look at the current situation of the coronavirus outbreak and the effect in our portfolios. Again, this is more a qualitative assessment because we are working on the quantitative effect as we speak, and day after day the situation changes quite dramatically. So at the moment, we can only speculate about the magnitude of the impact. Our baseline scenario remains that the depth of the economic impact will be material, mainly due to travel and tourism for the Greek economy, and as well as the effect on demand, but should be temporary as the outbreak itself will eventually dissipate. It is very difficult to put a number on the effect of the Greek GDP. The OECD a few days ago, as you know, provided an estimate about the effect on the world GDP and the Eurozone GDP that was about 50 basis points down. For Greece, there are already some analysis that shows an effect which ranges from 50 to 100 basis points for the full year. The main challenge of transmission is obviously tourism, the consumer confidence, shipping to some extent, and energy. And let me elaborate on these factors. The impact on tourism may be the most important one. Last year, the contribution of tourism to the Greek GDP was about 10%. Therefore, every 10% reduction in the tourism revenues results in about 1% year-on-year effect on the GDP. Overall, the impact on tourism may be quite serious. However, having said that, we are far from the peak of the tourist season. About 75% of the yearly tourist revenues come in the period between June and September. Therefore, there is time for losses to be recovered in early bookings and to be counterbalanced by last-minute bookings in the third, in the late second and in the third quarter. With respect to Eurobank's exposure to this segment, we have about 1.8 billion euros of performing hotel and leisure loans. Out of that, 80% is with large hotels, which are more resilient to the crisis. So far, the main effect that we have seen is with city hotels in Athens and Salonika, but obviously we cannot exclude that this will be expand also to resorts. Anyway, we monitor the situation very closely with our customers. In terms of the impact on consumer and investor confidence, we don't have any quantitative data yet post the crisis. The last data was in February, during which the economic sentiment increased further to 113. This is almost 10 units above the EU average. And also PMI increased to 56. Actually, this has been record readings for both indicators since 2010. And we have details about them at page 58 of the presentation. Shipping is another sector which is important for Greece. And obviously, shipping is very sensitive to global trade and what happened to China in the beginning of the year. If we use the Baltic Dry Index as an indicator, it reached its trough in the beginning of February, and since then is recovering, which is a positive thing on an overall negative environment. With respect to our exposure to this segment, we have about 2 billion euros. We are discussing the situation on a daily basis with our customers, and we have no demand so far for any sort of restructuring. Overall, we have historically a very strong portfolio in this segment. Finally, there is something positive that comes out of this turmoil, which is oil and energy prices. For the Greek economy, the low level of oil price is something positive, contributing positively to the Greek GDP. All the Greek companies in the sector of energy are downstream, and the price effect is not going to have any adverse impact apart from inventory revaluation. So this is a few things about some sensitive segments of the portfolio. Now, you made a question about our NPE plan, and actually was not clear, very clear to me, because you said that on page 14, we saw that initially the NPE ratio goes up and then goes down. Maybe I was missing something. If you would like to repeat.
No, I refer that the target that you had for the full year 20 in your previous presentation was actually lower, was lower than 13% than the current one, which is 13.5%.
Yes, so yes,
And it is true that it's lower later on, but just if you could explain a bit what was going on here.
Yes, that's a good point. So on page 14, indeed we saw 15.9% in the first quarter of 2020. This is as soon as we book as available for sale the Cairo transaction, and we project a ratio of 13.5% by the end of the year, which you have correctly stated that this is higher by about 1%, if I remember correctly, from the previous reading. The explanation of that is shown on page 14 on the right part, which is the last row, the regulatory headwinds of about 1 billion euros. This has to do with an estimate on the impact of applying the new definition of default in our portfolios. The 1 billion is made by about two-thirds in retail and one-third of corporate. And the new definition of default would be effective, as we know, January 1st, 2021, although it may delayed following today's announcement by the ECB. We have to clarify that. And anyway, we were planning to book the major part of this impact in 2020 and 2021. So this explains the difference. Now, let me also say a few things about the potential effect of the recent events on the NPL resolution. For the first quarter of 2020, where according to our plan, actually January and February were two good months in terms of performance. And despite the coronavirus outbreak of the last few weeks, we still expect a negative formation for the first quarter of 2020. Slightly below the respective reading of the first quarter of 2019. So far, we have not seen any sort of change in the payment behavior because of the coronavirus, but it is still early, and definitely this is a risk factor that we are monitoring very closely.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Floriani Jonas with Axia Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello, hello. Can you hear me well, guys?
Yes, please.
We're hearing you.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, yeah, thanks for the presentation. So I have a few questions, of course, at the focus now, as you can imagine, and my colleague asked is on the impacts from the virus. But now, changing a bit focus on the expected risk weight you show on Cairo on the presentation, is that your expectation for the risk weight, or is it the final number you expect to hear in a few weeks? So that's the first question. Second, given the level of capital expected for 2022, total capital around 16.5, have you been internally discussing or with shareholders any possibility of capital return to shareholders based on that level of capital when you reach it? So, yeah, I'll leave it here. And if I have anything else, I'll join the queue again. Thanks.
Thank you for your question. Following the feedback that we received from SSM in the context of SRT approval, the Cairo senior note will be weighted at 25%. So that's it about your first question. Regarding your second question, as you may appreciate, following also the latest developments, it is not something that it is in our agenda in the near term.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Savitm Mehmet with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and congratulations on the results. I have another question on the COVID-19 situation, please. I appreciate the situation is still developing, but would you be able to provide us with some sensitivity on the line items that you may have some visibility on, if there are any? And I'll be especially interested in cost of risk, given potential IFRS 9 remodeling, for example, based on the macro factors, as well as capital, given the moves in the bond deals. Thank you.
Okay, let me start from the second part of your question, which is the effect that we may have in our capital from movements in the available for sale portfolio. Indeed, there is a very high volatility with the GGBs as well with other Gavis in the Eurozone. So far in the first quarter of 2020, we have an effect of about 60 basis points negative in our capital, but you could appreciate that this changes very dramatically from one day to another. The good thing is that, as I mentioned before, in our capital projections, we have adequate buffers versus the regulatory minimum requirement. And today's announcement by the ECB provides even more room with respect to that. Now, in terms of cost of risk, you pointed very correctly that this is maybe the most sensitive line of our income statement because of the recent developments. We have projected 90 basis points for the full year 2020. It is too early, to change our guidance. We remain with this guidance. But the fact that our starting point for cost of risk is 90 basis points give us room to absorb any sort of negative impact from the coronavirus outbreak, if there is such. So, the fact that we have been able to reduce during the course of 2019 the stock of NPEs quite dramatically give us room there to absorb the noise and the turmoil that may come out of the recent events.
Great, thank you very much. And my second question is on your fee income in the fourth quarter, which was especially strong, especially in asset management and bank assurance. I just wanted to ask if you could elaborate a bit more on this and tell us whether we can expect this to continue at these levels in asset management, especially whether there was a seasonal impact, how much of it was seasonal? Thank you.
This is a very correct point. Following a strong quarter, our fees and commission increased by almost 14% year-on-year, which is not only a result of the investment property income as a result of the merger with Grivalia, but also due to higher fees related with bancassurance assets under management and network activities and international. Actually, this is going to be the main source of income driver together with increase in performing loans for the three coming years. Especially on bancassurance and assets under management, where we should expect net flows by more than 3.5 billion in next three years, and the assets under management fees increased by more than 100%. It's an area that Eurobank, a number of years now, has a competitive advantage, especially on bancassurance in cooperation with Eurolife. This combined with the negative base rates and the sharply decreasing trends in deposit rates, this is giving a sustainable source of income for the coming years. Apart from the asset, the investment property, the assets under management and bancassurance, the third driver of fees and commission income growth for next years is expected to be the network fees, especially focusing on management account fees, ATM access fees, debit card renewal fees, and the sharp decline of deposit rebates. This is going to be the picture on fees and commission for the next three years. We also demonstrate some KPIs on page 18, where we show that our plan for the period until 2022 is fees over income to grow from 52 basis points to 80 basis points over assets, and a quite significant change of income mix. Fees over income in Greece is expected to grow from 19%-30%.
Great. Thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Barakhtari Angeliki with Autonomous Research. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the presentation. A few questions on my side as well. Just to start from fees, given that that was the last topic that we just discussed. The 80 basis points that you target in 2022, when I look back into your historical numbers, I mean, my model goes all the way back to 2008, not before that. Still, I can see that in 2008 at the group level, you were at 76 basis points. I would imagine that in today's environment, there is much more competition and also the rules have tightened with regards to sort of transaction fees, banking fees, et cetera, in the European Union, PSD2. Isn't this overly bullish, this assumption of 80 basis points over assets? Then my second question on NII. Based on the asset growth that you have given and the 1.9% NIM for 2022, I get to a number of around 1.5 billion net interest income. Could you confirm this number for 2022? And if my calculations are correct, could you give us some color on what sort of Euribor have you assumed in the plan? What sort of pace of the yield on the securities portfolio that you have assumed? And also, one last question with regards to the cost of risk and the impact from coronavirus. I do hear you that it's still early days, but obviously with the Greek banks, We have had in the past 10 years really a lot of instances where cost of risk was extraordinarily high. So in your view, do you expect that if let's assume that the cost of risk exceeds your target of 90 basis points, do you think it could exceed even your cost of risk of 2019 of 170 basis points, or is that some sort of an upper ceiling, let's just say, considering that you will have deconsolidated part of your NPE book? Thank you.
Let me answer the first two of your questions, Angeliki. Thank you for your question, first of all, and the third to pass to Fokion. Regarding fees and commissions, maybe a differentiating factor than 2000 compared to 2008 is now that a big chunk of fees and commission is going to come from investment property rental income. So we estimate that close to above 25% of our fees and commission as at 2022 will come from a rental income. So this may be, this may reconcile your analysis. Regarding your net interest income for 2022, actually I cannot reproduce this figure. If we multiply the asset base of 65 billion by 1.08, that it is the growth that we estimate, multiplied by 1.9%, it comes to a figure close to 1.35 billion, which is a small decrease by 2.5 to 3% compared to the net interest income that we had in 2019. So
yeah,
that's about it. And
so Euribor assumed
I forgot to answer. Regarding Euribor, we expect a flat Euribor at the area of minus 70 basis points throughout this period. So we don't expect improvement over the three-year period. We don't expect deterioration.
All right. And if you could give me an indication also on the securities portfolio, because you said these will increase by around 3 billion, and I presume the yield is lower. Maybe you can give us some guidance as well, more near term, with regards to the bond income for 2020. Is the Q4 level a sustainable level for a quarterly run rate for 2020?
I would expect some slight growth at the area of 5 to 10% over next year. But that's that.
Thank you. And on the cost of risk?
Now, on cost of risk, again, it's very difficult to quantify things at the moment. But let's look at some facts. During the course of 2019 and the first quarter of 2020, effectively we reduced the stock of our NPEs by two-thirds. Therefore, the main source that was creating the cost of risk in our bank has been reduced very substantially. At the same time, the companies which are on our performing book are companies that have been able to remain performing during the 10-year crisis that we have experienced in Greece. So these are companies with really strong balances. And if we focus more on the hotel and leisure segment, we have companies that obviously enjoyed very strong years during the last 3 or 4 years, but also they were able to go through the crisis of 2011, that the tourism was very weak, and survive through it. So unless this crisis lasts for several quarters, that is not our base scenario today, we cannot really see how the cost of risk will exceed the level that we had last year. But again, it, at the current circumstances, it's very difficult to quantify this metric.
If I may just follow up on that, obviously the situation is still evolving, but even a bit earlier and over the past few days, we hear about governments in every state taking some measures in order to offer forbearance, especially to the SME sector being affected by the crisis. Have you heard anything from the Greek government with regards to perhaps guarantees on SME loans, which could alleviate somewhat the cost of risk for you? That would be interesting to know whether you expect any sort of help from the European Union or the Greek government. And just one last thing, if I may, I'm really sorry. Just on the first question that was asked in the call with regards to the deal with doValue, obviously your cost of risk reduction is entirely dependent on that. So just to clarify one more time, is there any risk that if doValue were for some reason willing, or if they change their mind, is there any sort of legal agreement that forbids them from doing that at the moment? Would there be any penalty for them?
With respect to doValue, as I said, we have a binding agreement about the sale of FPS and Cairo, as binding as it can could become. And again, we don't have any sort of indication that doValue is thinking otherwise. On the contrary, as I said, we are in daily communication with doValue about the closing of the transaction. Not only that, on how FPS can grow its business even from the early days of 2020. Now, about the government measures and etc. We are in discussions with the Minister of Finance about how the crisis could be addressed in a much more coordinated way. The government has not reached any decisions yet, but it is positive that it's in discussion with the banking sector. And I think it is important to wait until the decision of Eurogroup. I think it is next Monday, the 16th, if I'm not wrong, to see what the decisions may be at the European level. Following that, maybe the government will reach its decisions. As I said, it is very important that it is in close dialogue with the banking sector.
Thank you very much.
The next question is a follow-up question from Abad Kosse with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much. Sorry, to follow up. The first one is a broader question. Is given that you know the changes in the current context and that we are experiencing. So the question for you is, if you were to launch today, let's assume that actually you had never closed actually the Cairo deal. If you were to launch the Cairo deal today, starting today, do you think there would be the same demand at the same prices that you managed actually to close the previous deal for those quantities? Or do you think that going forward, actually, the appetite may be actually lower or different. And the second is clarification. You mentioned Euribor at you have minus 65 to minus 70 bips. Thank you very much.
The second is yes, is hovering between minus 65 to minus 70 throughout the 3-year period. So no improvement.
Now, your first question is very hypothetical, and I'm afraid there is no answer for such a hypothetical question. First of all, I don't think that anybody could seriously think of launching a transaction at an environment like the one that we experience today. Everybody would wait for things to settle down and then launch a transaction. But overall, out of this crisis, for the servicing sector, business can only go up, not down. I mean, therefore, I think FPS is still a very attractive entity to be considered by anybody. But again, this is a very hypothetical question. We have a binding agreement with doValue, and we're going to close with doValue.
We have a follow-up question for Barak Dariagiliki with Autonomous Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my follow-up question as well. I can see on your slide, page 14, that you have 1.7 billion of additional securitization, if I understand correctly, in your plan. Could you please give us some more details on sort of, is it going to be mortgage versus corporate, and in which year you're planning to launch the securitization?
Yes, Angeliki. Actually, this is a transaction that is expected to be launched in 2021, not this year. According to our plan, close to 70% is going to be retail and another 30% corporate. The transaction economics are not expected to be material different from the one of Cairo, and any impact has been included in the cost of risk guidance we provide for both 2020 and 2021.
And what will be the senior tranche, if you have an idea on this securitization?
Actually, it's quite early to provide some, although we don't expect to be materially different from the percentage of Cairo.
Okay, and are you planning to apply for the Hercules government scheme as well for this one or no?
Most probably, yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is a follow-up question from Sevim Mehmet with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon again. Just a quick follow-up from me as well. On slide 16, you're talking about 200 million of further IT investments. I just wanted to check whether you can provide more color on the nature of these investments, please, and the time period that these are planned for. Thank you very much.
Yeah, this is a figure for the period of our plan, so 2020 to 2022. And effectively, it is part of the effort to make the organization simpler, leaner, and more digital. So to improve the customer experience and reduce costs for the bank.
And I'm assuming then these are obviously embedded in the targets and in the cost income guidance.
That's correct, yes, that's correct.
Great, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Karavias for any closing comments. Thank you.
Yeah, I would like to thank you all for participating in our call today. It is at very challenging times for the world economy, and your participation is really appreciated. We're going to be available for any sort of clarifications and further questions on what we discussed today over the next weeks. Thank you very much.